She said she's 21, I might have to ID that.
Welcome in to live from Lawrence. I'm laughing because we've got Lil Yachty bringing us into the show. Lil Yachty is the featured performer tonight at Late Night. That's where we are right now. We are live just outside Allen Fieldhouse, just adjacent to an enormous inflatable Jayhawk. I'm Joshua Briscoe out here with Charlie Carlin. You can look for the 810 Cruiser, but most importantly, just look for the giant inflatable Jayhawk and come by this tent over here and say hi. Grab some beads, grab a koozie. We've got some of the Chiefs preview magazines out here. Most importantly, we have me and Charlie. So come by, say hi, and we'll talk about KU basketball. We'll talk about Lil Yachty. I was saying right before the show started, Charlie, that like this is going to be a fun hour. We've got an hour of just talking about KU basketball. We'll hear from Bill Self. We're going to talk to Bobby Nightingale from the Lawrence Journal World. We're going to go back and play a couple of interesting minutes from Scott Chase into the Lawrence Journal World. We're going to do a lot of good KU basketball talk, I promise.
Right.
But my ultimate goal for this hour is for someone to tell me where Lil Yachty is and how we can get him out to our tent. Just 5 minutes here would change my life forever.
Well, when we first got this event going and, like, knew we were going to be out here and everything, I was kind of, you know, excited to go to Late Night and do this whole thing pre-event and that sort of stuff. But
right. All
you could talk about was Lil Yachty.
Well, listen, man, I'm
not going to lie. I'm not very familiar with Lil Yachty as much as the kids are these days. I sound so old
kids
by saying
these days,
that.
The 79-year-old Charlie Carlin
yeah.
here.
No, but I mean, it's going to be fun. It's going to be cool. And it's a great event out here. There's a lot of people out here so far. It's a good time out here. It's a beautiful day.
It is.
So, I don't know. You're pretty pumped for Lil Yachty.
Well, I just, like, I've never seen Lil Yachty before. I've seen KU basketball. I've been to Allen Fieldhouse one time, a great experience, and I've watched a lot of KU basketball. I've talked about a lot of KU basketball. That's all great. I'm happy to do all of that. I don't think I've even had a realistic opportunity in my life to see Lil Yachty live and in person. I feel like it's going to be a borderline spiritual experience.
I think it is, yeah.
So
it's going to be great.
Come out here to Allen Fieldhouse. I don't know what all these festivities are called right now, but there are a bunch of booths, and there's a basketball court. You can get your face painted. There are food stands and food trucks. And most importantly, again, us giving away beads. I'm currently wearing – I've got three different beads. Charlie only has
two. Yeah, I don't know where you got the gold ones.
There's only, like, two left, and I nabbed that up real quick.
Of course.
Again, I'm trying
yeah.
to be lit
yes.
for whenever Lil Yachty hits.
Yes, because beads make you so lit, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
He has them in his hair.
That's true, he does.
He's got clear beads in his red braids. Like,
true.
I'm fascinated by Lil Yachty, and I will not be happy until we can get him out here somewhere.
Yeah.
So keep your eye out for the only guy here with red dreads. We can actually talk about KU basketball for a little bit, though. We will travel a lot of ground. That was not like a jab at Svyatoslav Mikhailiuk or anything, that we will travel over a lot of ground. But if you look at the team as a whole right now, what's changed from last year to this year, what you expect from this year's team, you never expect anything less than a Big 12 title and a high seed in the tournament from the Jayhawks under Bill Self. There's no other expectation that you are even allowed to have. They're going to win the Big 12 this year, probably by a couple of games. It's just going to happen. No matter how you slice it, this season ends with a KU Big 12 title. But this specific team is very interesting. I think it has some parallels to last year, and it also has some huge differences from last year. Now, I know this is how college basketball works, but there's kind of a leadership vacuum in several important places, and also a scoring vacuum right now left by the graduation of Frank Mason and Landon Lucas, a couple of guys who are absolutely leaders on that team.
Yep.
You lose Frank Mason and Josh Jackson, your two leading scorers. Kansas has a lot of work to do, a lot of shoes to fill. But I think, as usual, they're going to be pretty well-equipped to do that. You look at the projected starting five. Devontae Graham, obviously, he's going to be the captain of this team back for his senior season. Yudoka Azubuike is going to be the big man here, filling in for Landon Lucas. Coming back from injury. He looked really – you got to be excited for Yudoka Azubuike.
Oh, yeah.
He looked like exactly, I think, what you expected and wanted him to look like last season before his injury. It would have been great to let him get on the floor for all of that playing time that could have sort of honed those skills a little bit. But you've got to be thrilled for what you've seen from him, what you're going to bring in now.
Absolutely. And that was a brutal injury for them last year,
yeah.
And him going down. But they were able to fill it with Landon Lucas and Mitch Lightfoot and
yep.
everyone else. But this year,
yeah.
they're kind of short on that. So
like, yes,
obviously you can never prepare for injuries and that sort of thing. But it's one of those things where he has to step up and come back from injury strong, which we're all expecting him to do that. So it'll be exciting to see him play a full season.
And it's a reason why I don't see KU rolling out two big men in the starting lineup. Billy Preston is the guy that you would have in that conversation. I'd be surprised to see him on the floor very often. Last year, Bill Self got real comfortable with a small, fast lineup. This year, something I didn't expect to see from Bill Self last year very much is him being very, very good at playing to the talent, even whenever it means going smaller.
Mm-hmm.
He did that last year. I think we're going to see that again this year. So I think Billy Preston's going to be the guy that's trying to give Udoka Azubuki a breather whenever that comes in. He's a valuable depth guy, you know, a guy who actually is worth some floor time. But I think it's going to be Graham Azubuki, Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk coming back for his senior season at the ripe old age of 20 years old. We'll talk about Svi in a little bit also. The Gerald Vick, I think, gets that starting nod over Billy
Preston.
He had
a great season last year,
yes.
And looking to build on it.
And this is something, I know this is small, and I know this is just me, but whenever I think of the Gerald Vick, I immediately go back to the World Games. Because what I saw from the Gerald Vick back then, not the Italy thing this summer, but last summer, what I saw from LeGerald Vick then was a guy who simply looked faster, more athletic, and more explosive than anybody else on the floor. So I hope we see some more of that LeGerald Vick. And maybe that's in a smaller role, but I think he's going to be the guy there. But the fifth man that I want to talk about is Malik Newman. He's the transfer in. He's one of the top recruits from the country coming out of high school in Mississippi.
Yes.
KU and Kentucky both chased him down, but he chose to stay home and play for Mississippi State. I think he's the guy that you have to look at whenever you say, all right, we've got a lot of shoes to fill. We've got a lot of scoring to make up for because Josh Jackson and Frank Mason are on their way out, or now I guess are the whole way out. I think Malik Newman is a guy that you're going to have to pay extra careful attention to whenever it comes to filling that scoring void. He looked great in Italy, and again, you've got to create some points then. Now, obviously, I think it's fair to say that Devontae Graham, Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk, and Udoka Azubuki are going to account for some of that scoring loss, but not the 32 points per game that Mason and Jackson averaged last year. Combined last year, the points per game average from Frank Mason and Josh Jackson was about 32 points per game. That's a huge void to fill. You'll pick up a little bit from LeGerald Vick, a little bit from Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk, hopefully a good couple of points from Devontae Graham. But I think Malik Newman's the guy that you see at the end of that saying, all right, where's the bulk of that resurgence coming from? I think it's coming from Malik Newman.
And it's definitely going to have to come from him. I mean, he's one of the more important players on this team.
I agree.
Other than Devontae Graham, he's going to be one of the leaders. You say who's going to fill that scoring void? Well, he almost did by himself in Italy.
Right.
Like he had seen such a good performance in every single game. I'm not confident in saying this, but I think he averaged at least 25 points in that whole tournament.
He had 25 points in the first half of that last game.
Yeah, exactly. So in every game, he pretty much had that. So it was incredible to see him. He's got a year of practice with Bill Self under his belt, so he knows the system. He knows what Bill Self wants. He knows how to work with this team very well, and it'll be exciting to see it how it all plays out and how they work together in the first practice tonight.
I also think that Sviatoslav and Devontae Graham might actually be underrated lane drivers because they're extremely talented at it, but it's not exactly their point of focus.
Frank Mason last year.
Exactly. That's the other void. You've got to have a guy that can penetrate there. LeGerald Vick is going to do some of that, I'm sure, and I would love to see Devontae Graham get back to more of that. Svi Mikhailiuk is very good at getting there also, but it's kind of a rare occasion for them. So I'd be surprised to see either of those guys change their game very drastically this year. So not only do I think that Malik Newman is going to do a ton of scoring for the Jayhawks, I think he absolutely has to.
You kind of like to see Devontae Graham be a little bit more aggressive, though.
I would. Because, I agree. Yes.
Because he was great. He was an amazing leader last year and everything.
Yes.
But he was obviously second behind Frank Mason, and who was one of the more aggressive guards that KU's ever had in a long time. So you'd like to see Devontae Graham kind of take – take that role that Frank Mason filled.
But I don't think he wants to be that player, though. Also, I was thinking about this earlier today.
True.
And this
he's not that type of player as much as Frank Mason was.
Right, and this isn't like a conspiracy theory, but I think
that... Which isn't a bad thing.
But I think that Devontae Graham might be looking at his game and saying, well, what do I need to be better at? What do I need to be great at to succeed at the next level? Devontae Graham is not going to be a lane driver in the NBA. If he's going to take that next step, it's going to be as a perimeter shooter. Mm-hmm. All right, on that note, again, we're out here just outside Allen Fieldhouse, as I'm calling this show today, live in Lawrence. We are just subtitled right next to the giant inflatable Jayhawk.
It's a very large Jayhawk.
A very large Jayhawk, and I imagine that if you were directly in front of it, it might be a little bit disconcerting. Also in front of us, we see one of those, like, football into the hole through the inflatable thing games.
Yes, perfect way to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you hit four in a row, then you actually get to play quarterback for KU this week.
Ooh,
so that's very exciting also.
Harsh.
Was that too harsh? Do they
maybe
even play this week? I
they
think
don't.
I might have just shown my
They're off this
next week.
They get 2 weeks to prepare for Texas Tech next week here in Lawrence.
The exciting thing from KU tonight is obviously late night. So come out here. If you're coming out to late night, come by the giant inflatable Jayhawk. Come say hi to Charlie and I. Pick up some beads and a koozie, maybe some magazines. Switch gears a little bit here. Earlier this week, Danny Kling still had a chance to talk to Jayhawks head coach Bill Self during the Coaches vs. Cancer event. And here's what Danny and Bill talked about.
Coach, I didn't think when you thought you had an eventful summer and going to Italy and everything that it would morph into such an eventful pre-run-up to your, late night at the Fog.
All right, if you're talking about the news of our sport and I don't think anybody probably saw that coming at all. I don't know that it's a shock to anybody involved that you would know that there's, third parties that have been involved in recruiting for a long time, legally, because of what they can do and allowed to do. But it's been a rough week for our profession and certainly a nervous week because of and I'm speaking for our profession. I'm not speaking from personal things, but as negative as it's been, that this is not the only thing that's gonna occur. So, it certainly doesn't lend to the excitement of starting a new season.
How do you think we kind of, obviously Coach Pitino is in a bad spot because he got caught on tape, and so he gets fired, and we don't know if there's any other instances about with that. A lot of it is indirect, as you said. But how do you think we got here? I think initially maybe it was at a lower level, or how did we get to a point where it seems like at least the amount of money being paid at times by some people to one-year recruits maybe, how'd we get here?
Well, I think you're looking at it, you got to look at it from 30,000 feet first. 30,000 feet is, this is huge business. It's a multi-billion dollar industry with what CBS and Turner and the affiliates are paying to put the tournament on in March is a very, very high sum of money. So you stop and think about that, the high sum of money. Now schools' cuts are bigger. There's more media attention towards that, so that obviously puts your school in a better light if they are participating and have success in the tournament. To do that, you pay the coaches the most amount of money possible. You got to recruit the best players, and the best players have been influenced by agents or shoe companies since they're 15 years old because it's legal and all these things. There's pressure on a lot of different fronts that isn't healthy. And so, I do hope that something good can come of this, which I do believe something good can come of this. I just think it's going to be a time, away. But, yeah, you talk about how do you get here. I think, there was a lot less issues and a lot less problems when I was coaching Oral Roberts. And when coaches were probably making, a much smaller salary.
Coach Weber said he made the Sweet 16 at Southern Illinois, wasn't even making 100.
No, that's true. I was making 60 at ORU. Of course, we didn't make the Sweet 16. But the one thing that nobody talks about is is the NBA salaries. I mean, you don't think that there are people out there when the 10th player on an NBA roster, the 8th or 10th player on an NBA roster is making $10 million a year, you don't think there's people out there to see opportunity to make money off people. Well, you do it by developing relationships when they're young and things like that. So it's a vicious cycle. I'm hopeful that some positive things can come out of this, but I think we're going to go through some things until we see that, though.
Finally, on this topic, how helpful do you think it would be to not have the one-and-dones and have the Gatorade League become more of a big deal where maybe guys could make a little bit of money if they weren't interested in going to college?
Yeah, I personally am not. First of all, we should have one-and-dones, but it's because kids that go to school for 1 year that chose not to leave out of high school. You know, first of all, I wish there was a minimum 2 year if they go to school, but you'd eliminate.
You'd say they should be allowed to go out of high school, but they could still leave after 1 year.
Well, I would say in the best scenario, see the way you got to look at this, 80% of the kids that you would be having issues with will not go to college, so that would eliminate a lot of maybe 90%. And then could the kid leave after 1 year? I would say they need to stay longer than 1 year. But those kids that would leave after 1 year wouldn't be considered one and done the way it's considered now, because they weren't projected to be that. But I should say they should stay longer. That would eliminate some things. If you were to say, okay, kids, every kid has to go to college for 2 years, that doesn't eliminate anything. It brings people onto your campus still. I actually believe the kids, for the most part, that have gone on to college for 1 year that have left, there are a lot of good stories with that. Andrew Wiggins is a good story. There's a lot. Joel Embiid is a good story. There's other people that have had really good stories with that. But the reality is the recruitment of these players for endorsements, for agent representation, for a lot of things, for management of their money, that doesn't start when they complete their college eligibility. That starts well before they get to college. And so at least for the elite guys, and the rules allow that to be okay. So it's a unique situation. Our sport is unique for a lot of reasons, and we've got some serious obstacles in front of us. But you know, hopefully. That these dark days can turn into something positive as we move on down the road.
Before we talk late night, just one more quick one. It being one of only the 11 Adidas schools, do you think that's going to put more focus on you and your program?
I don't think it'll put more focus on our program from a legal standpoint. I mean the reality of it is if we or if anybody is doing something wrong, it doesn't matter if you're with Adidas, Nike, or Under Armour, or Jordan Brand, or whoever. If that's the case, then with as many people that are probably going to get indicted, there will be some people tell all. So if that's happening from a legal standpoint, I don't think that is the effect. The negative is that Adidas obviously is the one that has been mentioned first. I if I'm not mistaken, I think Nike was kind of thrown in there today. But Adidas was mentioned first, and so naturally we're one of the flagship schools without question for Adidas. So the affiliation says, well, if they're doing it for one, they're doing it for all. That's not how it works. But the reality of it is, it's not positive for us, especially during recruiting. You know, you talk about an opportunity to potentially sign this guy or that guy, you're close, and all of a sudden now, you know, from a recruiting aspect, now those families and those kids are said, are you sure you want to do this? Because there is that we are Adidas. And so we're not shying away from that. We are. And so it's a negative without question, but not as much from a legal standpoint as it is from a perception standpoint.
Your team's going to be interesting as usual. You have so much transition from year to year, maybe, and it accelerates every year. But boy, you get talented players too.
Yeah, I like our guys. Now we have some questions. Our front line is probably the youngest we've ever been. You know, we, uh, uh, even when we had Marcus and Markeith, only one of them started. Now we're going to have an 18-year-old start and probably another freshman to play alongside him start, and our most experienced big guy is Mitch Lightfoot. So you're looking at the youngest we've ever been inside, but I do like our guys, and I do think we have good guards. And you know, whether or not we have a guard that can get inside of people like Frank, and whether or not we have a big guy that we know we can just isolate on the block and throw it to and come away with something good, that remains to be seen. But last year we didn't have that with Landon, and we turned out okay. But we did have Frank and Josh, and those guys will be mixed. But I like our guys. I don't know that it can be as talented as maybe some teams we've had, but I think we're going to have a chance to win a lot of games.
It's always a pleasure having you here at this great event. 25 years and 10 years at this particular event. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, it is. And you know, I'm actually a huge fan of Coach Stewart. But, you know, with all he's done as far as being a Hall of Fame coach and winning games, what he's done in this arena far surpasses anything that he did on the court. And the vision and the stick-to-itiveness to kind of see it through and to think that the money's been generated here has done so much to help so many. It's pretty cool. And it's pretty cool that one guy could have that vision and start this. You know, Jimmy V, and of course the V Foundation, deserves so much credit for this. But this is one that is pretty special also.
Coach, always appreciate the time and the frank conversation, and good luck to you this year.
Okay, thanks.
That's Denny Klingscale talking with Bill Self earlier this week at the Coaches vs. Cancer event. We're out here live in Lawrence, just outside Allen Fieldhouse. You can come by the Sports Radio 810 tent. Charlie Carlin and I are out here giving away beads, giving away koozies, just having photo ops. If you want to get a picture with a giant inflatable Jayhawk and then a picture with me and Charlie, we will do that for you. It's $20 per snap, and I think it's a very good investment for your future. So you can come find us out here outside Allen Fieldhouse. Whenever we come back, we're going to talk a bunch more Kansas basketball with Bobby Nightingale from the Lawrence Journal World. That's next.
Hey, little mama, would you like to be my sunshine?
Welcome back to what I am calling Live from Lawrence, because that's where we are and what we're doing. Coming to you live outside of Allen Fieldhouse, just by the giant inflatable Jayhawk. We're now joined by Bobby Nightingale from the Lawrence Journal World here. If you want to come say hi, come get some beads. We were just mobbed a second ago by little kids with cool face paint. So come get some face paint, get yourself some beads, say hi. And Rudy back at the station is doing a wonderful job at getting me Lil Yachty bump music. It's very exciting. So, Bobby, the first obvious question here, as we talk about all things Kansas basketball, very serious sports conversations. I know you know who Lil Yachty is because we talked about it before we started this segment. But is there any story around you that you've had where someone hasn't had any idea who he was, hasn't had any idea what's going on, has been in any way generally confused? For me, the old person in my life who was doing that was Charlie, who is, what, like 26 going on 75. do you have any good Lil Yachty related stories?
Just, I'm the only person in my office who knew who he was before without Googling him. So,
oh, man.
I'm not the youngest. Scott Chasen's a little bit younger than me, but I'm the only one who knew him previously, so that made me feel a little bit better.
We talked to Scott on Wednesday, and we'll actually hear from him a little bit later on today. I talked to him on Wednesday, and he was very much ignorant of the bliss that comes with Lil Yachty's presence. Let's talk about Kansas basketball, and, you know, we'll just keep the eye out for the floating red braids.
Do you think if he walked by, people would know who he is right away?
Yeah, I think so. Even if you didn't say, like, oh, that's Lil Yachty, you'd be like, oh, that guy is not here for any other reason.
That's true, yeah.
He's floating on a cloud, man. Let's talk about actual basketball then. We are looking at a very different KU team, but it sort of fits in the mold of last year a little bit, a team that's pretty fast. Pretty small, and has, you know, like one big man that you have any amount of faith in right now. How do you look at the transition from last year to this year and the differences and the similarities?
I think if last year didn't happen and they didn't do the four-guard lineup last year to play small, you'd be a lot more scared than you are right now for this upcoming season, just because it seems like they're more unproven. They're obviously going to try and play fast, but so light in the front court, one injury, and they're going to be in deep trouble there.
Yeah.
But just because they did so well last year, you have to feel confident about them this year.
And so you feel like they are going to the four-guard lineup. You'll have Azubuike out there surrounded by a bunch of speed. Is that the plan as far as you've seen?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Billy Preston, maybe he emerges and he gets into the starting lineup, but I think for the most part they'll have a four-guard lineup just because you want Svi and LeGerald Vick on the court with Devontae Graham and Malik Newman. I mean, that lineup can score so much.
Yeah.
It may be Billy Preston plays with those guys too when Udoka's, you know, in foul trouble or tired or something like that.
We talked about Malik Newman a little bit in the first segment. I think he's the guy that's probably not getting enough conversation because he's new, you know, and he also isn't a loud incoming freshman. So there's been kind of a lull in the discussion about Malik Newman. But you lose 32 points a game in Frank Mason and Josh Jackson both leaving. It seems to me like Newman's one of the guys who is most poised to have a huge impact on this team, especially when it comes to actually scoring.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Bill Self said he wants him to average about 20 points a game this year, and
sounds
he doesn't
good.
Really say that about anybody.
Right.
Just shows how good he is. I mean, Newman was a top five recruit out of high school. He just didn't have a great freshman season and kind of had to stay in college instead of going straight to the draft.
Right.
But I think the season does revolve. You know, if he can score 20 points a game, he's looking really good. If he doesn't perform to expectations, then Devontae Graham and LeGerald Vick probably have to be a lot better scorers than they've
right.
been in the past.
Well, and so that's also something I've been wondering about and talking about a little bit. Devontae Graham last year became a perimeter shooter. Even though he's still very talented when it comes to actually getting to the rim. And I think LeGerald Vick is one of those guys that has that kind of power to get there. Even Svi, for as rarely as he seems to do it, always looks like he's gliding to the hoop whenever he actually does drive. How is the evolution of those guys, how they play their game, how has that changed the complexion of this team, and how is it going to develop for this season?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things we'll see a little bit tonight. I mean, Devontae Graham, he shot so many threes last year, but now he's going to have to obviously drive a lot more.
Yeah.
We'll see. Frank Mason was so good at it last year. We'll see if anyone takes that role. I think LeGerald Vick's ready for a step up. He was really good in Italy when they did that preseason trip.
Yeah.
And Svi, I mean, he's 20 pounds lighter, I mean,
that's
which is crazy.
Heard.
I mean,
yeah.
To lose 20 pounds in an off season. So it'll be interesting to see what he does with it. I mean, whether he stays on the outside or if that means he's going to try and drive more.
Well, I was talking to Scott, and he said that he not only did Svi lose 20 pounds this offseason, he looks 2 inches taller. He said that he kind of had one of those transitions where you see a guy 1 year looks like a college player, the next year he looks like a pro. Is that what you've seen from Svi also?
Yeah, I mean, because he wasn't practicing with the team at all in the summer, he kind of just joined him in Italy, and he kind of just jumped in, and he looked like a senior, you know, a guy who didn't need any practice time and was ready to play with all the other guys. So I think that was kind of impressive just from him, but
yeah.
It seems like every year we always talk about Svi. Maybe he'll take a jump just because
right.
he's so young. I
right.
mean, I don't think he's 20 yet. So
I think he just turned 20.
Just turned 20.
I think
yeah.
so. Yeah.
So I mean, he's just so young. We always expect this jump from him, and maybe this will be the year that he finally does. But I think that's one of the things to prove that he has to prove too.
So it seems like we're pretty sure that the speed of this team is going to be a definitive strength. What kind of weaknesses does that open up? Where do you get nervous with this team? Where do you see, this looks like maybe even specific matchups? This in the Big 12 seems like a place where maybe KU can get exploited.
Yeah, I think big teams will give them problems. I think maybe another Oregon type that they lost to last mm-hmm. year. Teams that, you know, that won't have trouble with Udoka Azubuike in the paint, or if he gets into foul trouble, then you're really in trouble. You're depending a lot on Billy Preston and Mitch Lightfoot, which you probably don't want to do.
No,
freshman,
that's not my favorite thing.
Yeah, exactly.
No. So what about on the defensive side of the ball? Frank Mason, one of the things that made him so fun to watch is that no matter where he was on the court, no matter who had the ball, he was doing something worth keeping your eyes on. How does that void get filled for KU this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gerald Vick's one of those guys that'll step up. I mean, he's so fast and he's so agile. I think he's one of those guys on both sides of the ball. He can take a huge jump. He went to these NBA draft clinic type things mm-hmm. just to see kind of his stock. So I think he's one of those guys that he could fill kind of Frank's shoes without being Frank. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think anybody on this team will be a National Player of the Year candidate.
Right.
But I think he's the best equipped to do it.
We're out here live from Lawrence, right outside Allen Fieldhouse by the giant inflatable Jayhawk. We're talking to Bobby Nightingale right now from the Lawrence Journal-World. There's all sorts of stuff going around here. You can get balloon animals. You can get your face painted. You can get beads here from our table, which I think is the highlight of this whole thing. And then later on, you know, KU is going to do some basketball stuff and Liliana's going to But the beads are here now. I'm Josh Briscoe. Charlie Carlin's here as well. Bobby, let's look around the rest of the Big 12 a little bit. KU's going to win the Big 12, but by how much? And then who is the team that's going to be the sexy upset pick that will inevitably be completely wrong and proven wrong very soon into the season?
Everybody's loving Texas right now. They got a new point guard and a new top 10 player, Mo Bamba, he got his brother thought he committed NCAA violations, so that's why his name got big. But NCAA cleared him.
Bell, yeah.
Yeah, so Texas is the huge upset pick. I like TCU a lot. They returned a lot of guys. They won the NIT last year. And I always think when you finish the season strong, that gives you a lot of confidence. And just when you return guys and you have guys, juniors and seniors, I think those are the type of teams that will give, you know, younger talent trouble. And I think they're one of the – and obviously they beat KU in the Big 12 tournament last year, so I think they have the potential to do stuff.
What is trouble, though? What is, from a KU perspective, what kind of trouble can they undertake here?
I think beating KU at home. I think that's the biggest thing.
But is there – I mean, is that even – is that a realistic possibility on any in any alternate realities that we may be able to see from here?
I mean, until someone proves they can beat KU in Allen Fieldhouse consistently, I mean, it's hard to take anyone else in the Big 12 saying they're going to win it just because other teams have so much trouble winning every game on their home court, like unlike KU does.
So we talked about the starting five and then Billy Preston as the as kind of the sixth man. Not really in that role, I suppose, but as the sixth most important guy. Who's somebody else a little bit deeper down that bench that's going to be impactful? Or is that going to be nobody, and they're going to play with a very short bench again this year?
I think Marcus Garrett could surprise. He played point guard in high school. He might play like a four in college. I mean, he's tall enough. He's about 6'5". He's fast enough. So he might be kind of in that Gerald Vick mold. His high school coach was actually a former college coach, so I think that gives him a huge advantage. Just his former coach coached at Washington State. Mm-hmm. So he's just used to playing defense at the college level. He did well in Italy in the first two games. I think he's one of those guys that could step up on the bench if you needed to. And then Sam Cunliffe, he comes in December. Mm-hmm. There hasn't been a lot of hype around him. But he might be able to provide a lift. I mean, he played well at Arizona State before he transferred.
So we looked at how Bill Self managed working to his lineup last year. You already said that playing with four guards for a lot of last year, playing fast last year, is going to help, hopefully, those gears shift into this year also, which is going to really be maybe the more comfortable way of doing it for Bill Self. Do you have any concern that he's going to want to lean too far in one direction or another whenever it comes to the scheming, whenever it comes to the personnel, anything that Bill Self is controlling? Do you have any worries about how that might actually play out?
I mean, he adjusts pretty well on the fly to his guys. I mean, that's what gets him into the Hall of Fame, I guess. But I do think, you know, when you go to four guards, you do have to have guys like Frank Mason, who was willing to rebound. And I think that was one of his underrated things. Josh Jackson was such a good rebounder.
Yeah.
That might be something that hurts him this year. I mean, Devontae Graham, he has some games where he gets around 10 rebounds, but he doesn't do it as consistently as Frank or Josh Jackson did. So maybe playing small, that might hurt him.
Is that going to be a LeGerald Vick thing where he becomes more aggressive whenever it comes to the rebounding? Because obviously it's Azubuki, and then you hope that Devonta Graham ends up with a few of those that bounce away. But I would think that I guess LeGerald Vick is the closest thing to that kind of fast big man presence that they might have at this point. Or maybe it's Malik Newman?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's just going to have to be a team effort, I would think.
Right,
I mean, you're not used to seeing speed down in the paint, really. So maybe it has to be Vick and Newman. I mean, Graham has to get in there, obviously, but I think that could be a weakness for him. I mean, just rebounding compared to last year.
So look into the future with me. You brought a crystal ball with you, which I thought was very bold, but you have a specific bag for it, and I want you to look into it now. In two separate realities, I've been watching a lot of Rick and Morty, so I've been thinking about these different alternate planes of existence. In the plane of existence where this season goes as bad as it reasonably could, diagnose what happened in this path that KU could take.
I think an injury to Udoka Azubuki again would really hurt him. I mean, then you're saying Mitch Lightfoot has to play 25 minutes, and Billy Preston, a freshman, has to play 25 minutes, and then you're really short. You're not getting the rebounds. I mean, I think that would be kind of not a season ender, but for KU's expectations, where you expect to go to the Final Four every season, I mean, I think that's the key. I mean, he has to be healthy for him to make a Final Four.
So then, optimistic side of things, if they are in the Final Four again, if they get past the not inevitable, but sometimes feels kind of inevitable, earlier round bouncing, if they get to the Final Four, if they're in the national championship game, if they win the whole thing, what will be the biggest reasons? We'll look back and we'll say, KU was in the championship game this year because blank.
I think Devontae Graham has a monster senior season. I mean, at this point last year, I don't think anybody expected Frank Mason to score 20 points and average 5 assists a game.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, so, I mean, if he exceeds expectations, which if Devontae Graham plays at his best, I'm sure he could, maybe that's the key to winning at the national title, saying he has an amazing season, Malik Newman scores 20 points a game, and you just outscore everybody, and Udoka Azubuike, you know, is good enough and shows what he can do, and he ends up in the draft because he played so well.
Talking to Bobby Nightingale from the Lawrence Journal World, you can follow him on Twitter at Nightingale Jr., J-R, not spelled out. But I assume that's what people would look
It is up. Junior, you're right.
But yep. I feel like that's how you would just search that. We're out here outside Allen Fieldhouse by the giant inflatable Jayhawk, in case you missed that the first 15 times I said it. Come by, say hi, grab a koozie, grab some beads, say hello to me and Charlie. Maybe Bobby will sign an autograph, I don't know. Would you sign an autograph for someone if they asked? If they brought up a printed out version of one of your articles and put right now put your name on this, would you do that?
I wouldn't, but actually I covered minor league baseball in college, and sometimes I'd walk out
yes.
at the same time as the players, and some guys would come up, you
that's
know,
awesome. Did
asking
you sign
for
those?
I did.
Yes, that's fantastic.
Because I felt like if you're going to – those guys should know. I mean, yes. if you're standing outside minor league baseball stadiums, yeah. you should know who's a player or not.
Well, and if anybody walks by you at a minor league baseball game and you have any sort of athleticism on your body – if someone sticks a baseball on a Sharpie out in front of you, what are you going to do? Say no and then be that D-bag that rejected
exactly.
kid in a minor league baseball game? That's fantastic. Also, if you come by, Charlie just pointed out, if you come by and you get one of the Sports Radio 810 WHB Football Insiders, there's an autographs page. So what we should do is we should just all three sign these already and then just hand them out and people be like, what is this? Like, what is going? That doesn't look like
do you
like
charge
anything.
For them after you sign them? Right. I mean, a dollar or two?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the value definitely does go up. Yeah, the beads are always free, but if you get a signed copy of the Football Insider, it's $1.50. All right, Bobby, let's switch gears real quick before we let you go. The NCAA is in a pretty tumultuous place right now. There's an Adidas booth out here. So if you're over 6'7", come out here to Allen Fieldhouse, go to the Adidas booth. If you're over 6'7", we'll just hand you a duffel bag that might be filled with cash, might be completely empty. We don't know. It's a free giveaway. Don't ask any questions. But right now it's a pretty dark time in the NCAA. Do you have sort of like organizational concern, not for KU, but for the NCAA as a whole right now? Or are we going to largely forget about this once the tournament hits?
I think it's still I still want to see what happens. I want to see how many people flip. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has kind of happened before where guys, you know, get caught and then they don't talk and
right.
then it kind of just gets swept under the rug. I think there's the demand for it. I mean, people want to see change in the NCAA.
Yep.
But I think you still have to take down a few more programs. Louisville is obviously a big one, but they were already in trouble when Pitino and the AD left. So I think you still have to take, you know, a couple clean programs. If you take those down, then maybe people open their eyes up enough to say, okay, maybe that we should go about this a different way.
What does that different way look like if you do take it to that logical conclusion? Whenever I was talking to Scott about this on Wednesday, we were talking about the fact that if players are getting paid over the table, if that's a part of the system, it seems only logical to assume that the under the table dealings would significantly decline. Is that fair? And also, is that a reasonable place to go with this?
I still think it's tough because you're still, you know, if you have the top guys getting paid, then some of the guys that are in the middle are still
right.
going to want extra money.
Sure. The system is complicated.
Yeah, and I still think it's the same thing. Say you let high schoolers go pro once mm-hmm. again. I mean, if that happens, you're still going to have the top guys who still coming out of high school
right.
that come to college or
right.
still want to get paid. I still think it's always going to be a problem. I mean, I think the only way to do it is you have to legalize just two companies getting money. And
yep.
But obviously it gets a lot more muddy, but...
It does, but sports are like, it's already muddy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing, is if you say, all right, what if we make it a little bit more of the Wild Wild West here, we're going to let market value actually dictate all of this, which is pretty rare in sports. Only baseball really does that.
Yeah.
We're going to let free market value reign, and if Adidas wants to pay... Not allegedly anything, but if Adidas wants to pay Andrew Wiggins a bunch of money to go to an Adidas school and then they give him an Adidas deal once he gets out of college, then so be it. That's market value. I haven't even really talked about that seriously because it seems kind of shady. The NCAA is already filled with that kind of shadiness, so I think that actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most concerning thing I saw from at least the FBI's documents was assistant coaches steering them towards, you know, financial planners and guys
right.
who... And financial planners with bad backgrounds who have right. ripped off guys previously. I mean, I think that's kind of the shadiest part of it. I mean, they're setting guys up for failure once they leave college. And I think that's the hardest part to clean up, too. I mean, how do you not trust an assistant coach
right.
if you're a college kid?
Right.
How do you turn down money, too?
Bobby Nightingale from the Lawrence Journal World at Nightingale Jr. on Twitter. That's JR. But go find him, follow him there. You can read all this stuff on the in Lawrence Journal World. Bobby, thank you for coming out here, hanging out next to Giant Inflatable Jayhawk, and making the show smarter. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys are right next to Raising Cane's, my favorite chicken place,
yes,
so you guys are good.
Your favorite chicken place.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right, there's a lot in Lawrence, but...
We might have to have, like, a chicken off. We'll have this conversation during the breaks around our show time, I guess. We're out here by Allen Fieldhouse. Find the Giant Inflatable Jayhawk, and then directly to its right, you'll find the Sports Radio 810 WHB tent. It's me, Joshua Briscoe, out here with Charlie Carlin. Bobby Nightingale on the way out, but he's signing a few magazines as we speak. Whenever we come back, we'll hear from a couple of the highlights from Scott Chasen from earlier on in the week. That's next year on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back. Live from Lawrence here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. You can follow Lil Yachty at Lil Yachty.
Lil Boat?
I think it's at Lil Yachty.
Oh, okay.
But I heard him say Lil Boat, and it made me... We're going to, Charlie, tonight at late night, we are going to hear in person Lil Yachty say Lil Boat. I am 100% confident.
Yes.
And very excited. We're out here outside Allen Fieldhouse by the Giant Inflatable Jayhawk, the Sports Radio 810 WHB tent.
Did we mention how big this Jayhawk is?
It's a huge Jayhawk.
Yeah, it's very large.
Yeah, it's a little bit intimidating, honestly. Mm-hmm. But you can find us here. It's also the 810 and also the ESPN Kansas City tent. We got that representing out here. Your home for the Kansas Jayhawks, a brand new a new leaf turned over for KU. And you can hear everything on Sports Radio 810 and then also on ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM and 1510 AM. Back on Wednesday over on my show on ESPN Kansas City, I talked to Scott Chasen, and I asked Scott what he thought the future of the NCAA would hold after a tumultuous week with all of the news of the FBI investigation, and this is what he said.
That's another great question. I'm not sure what will ultimately be the direction of the NCAA. I thought it was interesting. Jay Billis, you mentioned, gave an interview, I want to say, with CBS News, maybe, or CNBC, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And he basically pointed out that the NCAA is always, it seems like, the last to know. The enforcement of the NCAA has, quite frankly, done, you would say, a bad job, but that is sugarcoating it, probably an atrocious job. So, I mean, if it comes out, if this thing spirals to length even greater than what we've already seen with, you know, X amount of teams and coaches and people being arrested and involved in this, I don't know if we can – I don't know if it'll stay the same. I'm guessing – if I had to make a prediction, this is based on no inside information, but I would predict there is going to be a pretty large overhaul going in terms of structure, because willful ignorance works for coaches in some cases, right? Yeah, my assistant went rogue and did something. I didn't tell him to do that. Okay, that can work to an extent, but when it's something as widespread as the corruption in you know, college sports, and when you have someone, you know, a New York attorney giving a press conference and saying, this is just the tip of the iceberg, that would seem to hint at that there are much deeper, much more ingrained problems and, you know, something that will be continue to be a factor down the line.
This is kind of way out there, because it's essentially a follow-up question to the idea of, what is the health of the NCAA currently? I'm guessing you could argue that the health probably isn't very good. How far down the line, how much of kind of like a pipe dream is it to think that the NCAA might eventually, maybe sooner rather than later, be facing more of an abolishing rather than an overhaul?
Well, I think there would have to be something in place, and even if it was, you know, a new entity maintaining it. I think the biggest thing to remember, the NCAA is kind of like the collective of the teams coming together to kind of regulate everything. So there would have to be some kind of a governing body. But, you know, to your point, if it came out that, I mean, forget 25, 250 teams were involved in this, and I'm not saying signs are pointing to that, but let's say that was the case, and the FBI comes down and says, yeah, look, you guys are doing things terribly, and we're just going to start, you know, charging with, you know, negligence and things like that, unless you guys get it figured out, then no, it wouldn't shock me if there was a complete new governing body or something like that. But, you know, at the same time, I do think the NCAA is going to be the governing body of the future. It wouldn't shock me if there was a pretty big shakeup.
So this is kind of, again, kind of down the road, kind of large scale. But what do you think that this entire scandal, we have to project, I know, so that's a little bit unfair, but as this progresses, what do you think this is, what kind of effect do you think this is going to have on the health of the sport of college basketball in general? Is it going to be something that actually threatens the sport, or is it going to be something that we largely forget about whenever March Madness hits?
I think it'll be something we remember. I don't think it'll be something we completely forget about, but, you know, once the sport starts up, I think that's always kind of how it goes, is that people start to move past it. And I read in a Rivals article, I thought it was hilarious, someone pointed out that the 2018 recruiting class, you know, those kind of recruiting battles, will probably be the cleanest recruiting battles that have ever been fought, because no one's going to want to be the next person popped with, you know, with a scandal or with paying out players or things like that. So you'll probably get a little bit of a return to, you know, rule following and doing things the right way, at least for the foreseeable future. And if there's no huge lasting impact, then it wouldn't shock me if these same problems slowly start to build up again until they, you know, come to an overhead X amount of years down the line. But I do think come, especially like the NCAA tournament, it won't be an afterthought. Because, I mean, this has affected Arizona, who is one of the top five teams in the country coming into this season. Louisville, who is, I want to say, like a 15-1 Vegas favorite to win a championship at some point this year. But I don't know. I certainly think this will be something that's on your mind, but maybe not overpowering your thought.
Let's pivot over to KU specifically then. They just landed a recruit for the future. They're obviously a perennial powerhouse and a very, like, crash course for people who have had their brains turned off to college basketball throughout the last few months, present company included. What do people need to know about what's happening with KU right now?
Well, I would say if you haven't paid much attention to this KU team, it'll be a team that, like last year, has to play small. This year, more out of necessity, not out of health, you know. KU has pretty much one center on the roster in Udoka Azubuike, and it's Mitch Lightfoot after that, and Billy Preston's a power forward and may even get called on in some emergency situations to play the five. But it's a team that on the perimeter will be just about as good as any other KU team. Devontae Graham is a senior, and Malik Newman should – I mean, either one of those guys could go for 25, 30 points on any given night, and the crop of wings Bill Self has acquired between Steve Mikhailiuk and Gerald Vick, who both might end up starting, by the way. They might – start small, we'll have to see. But those two should be in for large breakout seasons too. So, you know, KU will have its weaknesses. Frontline depth will be a huge issue, as well as point guard depth, because Malik Newman isn't really a point guard. But at the same time, this should be another top 10 team, top 5 team really, probably another one seed, and maybe another Elite Eight exit.
That's Scott Chasen from earlier this week over on Almost Entirely Sports, my show on ESPN Kansas City from 4 to 6 p.m. every single weekday. Some interesting stuff there from the NCAA. We touched on that a little bit with Bobby already. I want to go back to KU, considering that we're like 100 feet from Allen Fieldhouse right now. Maybe less than 100 feet? I don't know.
So the size of this Jayhawk from...
Is your mic on, Charlie?
It is on,
okay,
yes.
That would have been a fantastic thing for you. As, like, a producer extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a basketball court over here, and you and I are going to go play later.
Oh,
and
yes,
I am going to embarrass you in front of a lot of people.
This is not true.
There are a lot of people out here.
You got
and,
jokes. You got jokes. I'm going to school you.
Oh, I got jokes, and I got jukes, baby. I'm going to break your ankle.
Jukes? Jukes more football thing. It's to stick to what you know here.
Okay, that's also you know what, that's fair. We can go to the football throwing thing, and I'll kick your bleep.
Okay.
But Scott was talking about all of the problem areas, the concern areas for KU this year being point guard depth and big man depth. The point guard depth is interesting because you look at this team and you go, oh, look at all these super talented guards. But you don't really see a bunch of guys who usually handle the ball. I'm guessing that Devontae Graham is going to be doing a ton of that this year. But he wasn't even the actual, you know, the number one point guard last season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who takes charge of that because... Yeah, like you said, Frank Mason was obviously the leader of the team, bringing the ball up the whole time. Malik Newman is more of a point guard style than Devontae Graham. I would say at least. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him bringing up the ball and Devontae Graham kind of retaining his role that he had last year. But either way, like we said earlier, Devontae Graham is the leader of this team, and it's all up to him.
And I have this weird affinity for saying, if you could protect one player from all injury, from all harm, who would you put it over? Who would you put that halo of protection over? And I think the knee-jerk thing is to say Devontae Graham, but I think it really is Udoka Azubuike.
Yeah.
The actual depth in the big man positions on this team are kind of scary. Mm-hmm. What happens if Azubuike gets hurt again? what happens is this is a small team that gets even smaller. Like Bobby said, then all of a sudden you're putting out Billy Preston for a lot more minutes than you're comfortable giving him right out of the gate. So
yeah, out of freshman year, yeah.
Hopefully Azubuike holds up well. We still are going to be out here at Fogfest for a couple more hours by the giant inflatable Jayhawk here. Find the Sports Radio 810 tent. Come say hi.
All
grab
sorts
a koozie,
of
grab some beads.
You
get your face painted. Get beat by me at basketball. That's what Charlie's going to do later on. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Thanks again to Bobby Nightingale. Thank you.
I'm about to dunk on him, everybody.
You're not going to. You couldn't dunk on a play school. Thank you, Charlie Carlin, regardless. Thank you, Rudy, back
always.
At the studio. This has been live from Lawrence
at Fogfest.